Now, for the first message this afternoon, we'll be hearing from Mr. Ian Munro.
Well, thank you, Mr. Henderson, and good afternoon to you all. A couple of days ago, I received a letter from Scottish Amicable Life Assurance. And on the outside of the envelope, it had words to the effect that we should be planning for a carefree future. I wish I brought it with me. I could have showed it to you because it doesn't exactly have a bearing on what I'm about to speak about, but it is rather pertinent. Mr. Herbert Armstrong died on the 16th of January 1986, and in a few weeks' time we will witness the 19th anniversary of his death. On occasion, Mr. Armstrong would surmise that he would be alive when Christ returned the second time. Since his death, however, a number of ministers and lay people alike have stated that perhaps we have 25 years until the return of the Messiah. Others have stated that it's going to be nearer 50 years. For more years than I care to admit, I have been saying something to the effect that I doubt we have 5 years left before this magnificent event occurs. And sooner or later, I am going to be right. Recent events should not alarm us unduly, but they should be setting alarm bells ringing. In Iran, two trains collide and seven villages are destroyed. Two trains and seven villages are destroyed. Think about it. In North Korea, a blast in the capital city of Pyongyang devastated an area hundreds of yards across in each direction. Later, a blast in the northeast of the country sends up a mushroom cloud 2 miles wide, and the North Korean news agency says a mountain was demolished. Think about that. There's something very, very strange going on here, and the power needed to cause these sort of effects is absolutely phenomenal. A mushroom cloud 2 miles wide. Now, I say something strange is going on here. However, we here need to realise that we are living in a time which is unique. It is absolutely and totally without precedent. That realisation should not cause us any great fretful concern, but rather a degree of joyous anticipation, knowing that just beyond the doom and the gloom, there is a truly magnificent event about to take place, a really magnificent future. This is our present hope. This is what we know to be the future reality. At the moment, it would take a very brave man, or indeed a foolish one, to try to put all of the pieces of the puzzle together. Unfortunately, there can be little doubt that since September the 11th, 2001, the world has become a very much more unstable place to live in. Our world seems to be lurching towards total cosmicide. Indeed, can there be anything else but total when you're talking about cosmicide? The Middle East is once again a powder keg. Israel is fearful of an attack from Iran and is desperately arming herself. Iran is threatening to take preemptive action against Israel and to wipe out the Israeli state. Ariel Sharon can no longer count on the support of the political party in the Knesset to force through the policies which he is endeavouring to put in place in Israel. Add to that, Chairman Arafat of the PLO is desperately ill in Paris. He may even be dead and just be, quote, alive on life support machines. The whole of the Middle East is a place of open hostility. Indeed, open hostilities may very soon range across the whole of that region, and I haven't even mentioned the name of the state, Iraq. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 21 and verse 22, and read with me one of the statements that Jesus made about this age, the age in which we are living right now. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 22, we read the following words, sobering words, but true words. "For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." When we look closer to home, at the happenings within the United States and the United Kingdom and that Middle Eastern state which is called Israel, and we recall how Israel and Judah of old forsook their God and they forsook his laws, we see quite a chilling picture. Many of the major books of the Hebrew Scriptures record the ancient happenings and the results that occurred to Israel and to Judah. And in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 11, we'll turn there, the Apostle Paul gives us a warning which is very applicable to this age, and a warning which we ignore at our peril. Unfortunately, the shepherds of our modern Israel have led the people astray, or they too would realise the validity of these words. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 reads as follows. "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." We see here the scriptures talking about days of vengeance and the days upon which the ends of the world are come. In addition to the cauldron of the Middle East and the growing lawlessness in Britain and the United States and the rest of the English-speaking world, we also find other terrifying prospects emerging across the globe. Terror being waged against whole populations. Terrorists now not only with the intention but also with the capability of using weapons of mass destruction. When I was in the Navy, we used to talk about ABCD. It was atomic, biological and chemical defence. For the civilian population, there is no defence. As I say, terror is being considered against whole populations, the terrorists having the actual capability to use these horrendous weapons. And that capability is no longer confined to fiction and fantasy. Reality is slowly turning into a nightmare for the world leaders. Indeed, terrorism is no longer confined to political agitators, but is also being taken in by, quote, democratic, freedom-loving governments who are assuming draconian powers. And an example of this is given in the United Kingdom today with the Civil Contingencies Act, which either has or is about to receive the royal assent. By this particular act, the British government of the day will be able to call a state of emergency as a result of an occurrence or an anticipated occurrence which has taken place within these lands or in any place around the world. The government will be empowered to rule by decree, thus circumventing the checks and balances of Parliament. In addition to this, property rights will disappear. Property will be able to be confiscated without any form of compensation. The citizenry will be unable to be forced to work without remuneration. Property is stolen and the citizenry enslaved. I'd like you to turn back with me now to Luke chapter 21, but this time to verse 28. We read this time another statement given by our Saviour when he was looking forward to this end time. But he wasn't just looking forward to the end time, to the doom and the gloom. He was looking beyond it as well. And in Luke chapter 21 and verse 28, we read the following statement. And when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, and for your redemption draws nigh. So it's days of vengeance, the end time, but our redemption is getting ever closer. For those without any hope, any proper understanding of these days now must surely be becoming really scary. The 90th anniversary of Mr. Armstrong's death may be of very great significance, but then it may not be quite as significant as we think it may be. The mounting instability of the Middle East and the proposed new Islamic mosque on Temple Mount may be of tremendous importance, but it may not be. The declining relations between Britain and Europe and between the United States and Europe may have tremendous importance for us now, but maybe not so important to the world events. The accelerating proliferation of nuclear and fourth generation fusion weapons may be enormously important now, but who knows? Well, I'd like you to turn back with me now to Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. We read here the words that Moses was commanded to give to our Israelite forefathers. They were literally on the shores of the Red Sea at this time, with a hostile army close on their heels. The governments of this world today seem to be galloping into a box canyon with no form of escape, and we, as God's people, appear to be drawing ever closer to our shores of the Red Sea. But we read here in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13 the words that Moses was commanded to give to the Israelites. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Eternal, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Eternal shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. As I said before, today the world's nations are figuratively galloping into their box canyons with no route of escape, whilst we are virtually arriving at the shores of our Red Sea. But we must hold our heads up high, hold our peace, for our redemption draws nigh, and the Eternal will fight for us, and we will see our rescue coming from the Eternal. These may be the days of vengeance, these may be the end days, but our redemption is drawing nigh. This is our present hope. This is also what we know to be the future reality. There should be no undue fear as we wait for our Saviour's second coming. Rather, the joyous anticipation.